All right, so let's dive into something I think a lot of people listening, especially in Florida, are thinking about right now. Hurricanes.
Yeah.
And we're going to explore why Florida, the Tampa Bay area in particular, seems to be such a hurricane magnet. You might think they're pretty rare there, but the stack of sources you sent over suggests otherwise.
Right.
And what's even more interesting is we're not just talking about recent storms or climate change, right? We're going way back. We're going back in time to see if this is a pattern that's been going on for centuries.
Yeah. One of the things that's really interesting to me is that Florida, more often than not, experiences multiple hurricane impacts in a single year.
Okay.
We tend to focus on the big ones, that make landfall as major hurricanes.
Right.
But multiple hurricane impacts are more common than people realize.
So let's unpack that a little bit. I mean, the sources you sent over mentioned some pretty staggering examples.
Absolutely. Take 2004 and 2005, for instance.
Okay.
In 2004, you had Charlie, Francis, Ivan, and Jean all making landfall in Florida. And then in 2005, you had Dennis, Katrina, and Wilma.
That's seven major hurricanes
Seven major
in
hurricanes
2 years.
in 2 years.
That's mind-boggling.
It is. It really highlights the fact that these multiple hurricane strikes are not a fluke. It's actually a pattern in Florida's history.
And it looks like this trend goes way back. I mean, the sources mentioned some examples like 1964, 1935, 1950,
Right.
and even further back, right?
Oh, yeah, going back centuries, long before we were talking about climate change.
So it's not just a recent phenomenon. It's almost like it's baked into Florida's geography, so to speak.
Exactly. And I think it's a really important point, especially for those that might believe that Tampa Bay is somehow immune to hurricanes.
Yeah, there's kind of this idea like, oh, Tampa Bay, they're protected. It's not going to happen there.
Right, but the historical record tells a very different story.
You're talking about the 1848 hurricane,
Right,
right?
that's right. This hurricane was a monster. It made landfall as a Category 3 or 4, slammed right into Tampa Bay, caused a 15-foot storm surge.
Wow.
And keep in mind, this is before widespread development along the coast.
15-foot storm surge before all the development we see today. I mean, that's hard to even fathom the damage.
It was devastating. Fort Brooke was destroyed, only a handful of buildings in Tampa survived, and the geography of Pinellas County was permanently altered.
Oh, wow.
And here's the kicker. Just a month later, a second hurricane hit, causing another 10-foot surge.
Two hurricanes in 1 month.
Two hurricanes in 1 month.
It's incredible to think that even back then, Tampa Bay was dealing with multiple hurricane strikes. It really challenges that notion that Tampa Bay is somehow a safe haven from these storms.
Right, it does. And it underscores, I think, the importance of understanding the historical context when we talk about hurricanes in Florida.
So let's fast forward to today. Obviously, Florida's population has exploded in the last century, especially along the coast. So what does that mean in terms of hurricane risk?
Well, think about it this way. In 1830, Florida's population was just over 34,000. Today, it's over 22 million.
It's unbelievable.
Right. So that kind of population boom, particularly in coastal areas, means that even a weaker hurricane can cause catastrophic damage.
More people, more buildings, more infrastructure, all in the path of these storms. It's almost like we're setting up a domino chain and just waiting for it to fall.
Yeah, it's a good analogy.
Yeah.
And we've seen it play out in recent years with hurricanes like Michael and Ian. They weren't even direct hits on the most populated areas, and the damage was still significant.
You keep mentioning Hurricane Ian. It seems like that storm was a real wake-up call for a lot of people, especially on the west coast of Florida.
It was, yeah. It made landfall near Cayo Costa as a high-end Category 4, caused catastrophic damage. What was particularly striking was the storm surge.
Right.
In some areas, it exceeded 10 feet.
10 feet, that's taller than most people.
It is, yeah. And the impact was devastating. The estimated damage from Hurricane Ian exceeded $112 billion, making it the costliest hurricane in Florida's history.
Wow, that's a staggering number. And it just really underscores that point that even though Tampa Bay hasn't had a direct hit in a while, they're still incredibly vulnerable to these storms.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned Hurricane Michael as well, which struck the panhandle in 2018.
Right, made landfall as a Category 5, the first to do so in the Florida Panhandle.
Wow.
The destruction in Mexico Beach was almost total. It was just a stark reminder of the power of these storms, even in areas that don't always get as much attention as, say, South Florida.
So when we think about someone living in the Tampa Bay area today, what should they be thinking about?
Well, I think the big takeaway here is that the historical record shows us that Tampa Bay is not immune to hurricanes. In fact, it's been hit by multiple hurricanes in a single season on numerous occasions.
Right.
And with the population and development along the coast today, the potential for damage from a major hurricane is significant.
So it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've established that hurricanes are a recurring threat in Florida, and that Tampa Bay is not exempt from this risk. But how much of this is due to climate change? I mean, is that the driving force behind these storms, or is there something else at play?
That's a great question, and one that we'll explore in more detail after a short break.
Yeah.
Well, climate change is certainly a factor,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the whole story.
Okay.
As we've been discussing, hurricanes have always been a part of Florida's history. The problem is we now have more people and more infrastructure in harm's way.
So it's not necessarily that we have more hurricanes, it's that we have more people and buildings to be impacted by them.
That's right. And that's where the whole issue of coastal development comes in. Over the last half century or so, Florida's experienced this tremendous population growth.
Right.
And much of it has been concentrated along the coast. So that means more development, more people in hurricane-prone areas.
So we're essentially building ourselves into a more vulnerable position.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Yeah.
More people living along the coast means more potential for damage, disruption when a hurricane hits. And we've seen that play out, you know, time and time again.
Right. It's almost like we're setting ourselves up for disaster.
It's definitely a concern, and it's something that, you know, we need to be thinking about more seriously in terms of how we develop these coastal areas and how we prepare for hurricanes.
So if climate change isn't the whole story, what else is driving this increased risk?
Well, I think the key factor here is this combination of geography and development. I mean, Florida's location jutting out into the Atlantic and the Gulf of Mexico makes it a prime target for hurricanes. And as we've discussed, the rapid development along the coast has dramatically increased the number of people and structures at risk.
It's almost like we're playing a game of chance with these storms, and the odds are stacked against us.
Yeah, you know, it's not really about luck. It's about understanding the risks and taking steps to mitigate those risks.
So what can we do? How do we prepare for this reality where hurricanes are a recurring threat and coastal development continues to increase our vulnerability?
Well, the sources you've shared highlight a few key areas where I think we can make a difference.
Okay.
First is building codes. We need to make sure that new construction, especially along the coast, is built to withstand hurricane force winds and storm surge.
Stronger buildings, less damage.
Exactly. And it's not just about new construction.
Right.
We also need to think about retrofitting existing buildings.
Okay.
To make them more resilient. Things like reinforcing roofs, installing hurricane shutters, and elevating structures can make a big difference.
So a lot we can do on the building front. What about evacuation plans? Those seem pretty crucial, especially when you're talking about storm surge.
Absolutely. Knowing where to go and how to get there when a hurricane threatens is critical. This includes having a clear understanding of evacuation zones, designated shelters, and transportation routes.
And of course, you know, having a communication plan in place with family and loved ones.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to know how you'll get in touch with each other if you're separated, where you'll meet up if you have to evacuate.
And it sounds like, you know, preparation is really key. But even with the best plans in place, there's still a lot that's just out of our control when it comes to hurricanes.
That's true. We can't stop hurricanes from happening, but we can control how we prepare for them and how we respond to them.
And all the sources talk about personal preparedness being so important. What does that entail?
Having a hurricane kit is essential.
Mm-hmm.
This should include things like non-perishable food, water, medications, a first aid kit, flashlights, batteries, important documents, you know, basically everything you'd need to survive for several days without power or running water.
And what about like securing outdoor furniture, having a plan for your pets?
Those are important considerations too. Yeah, you don't want loose objects flying around in those high winds, and you need to make sure your pets are safe and cared for if you have to evacuate.
It's amazing to think that people have been living with hurricanes in Florida for centuries. You know, despite the challenges, they found ways to adapt and rebuild.
That's the human spirit, right? That resilience.
Yeah.
We learn from each storm, use that knowledge to build back stronger, smarter, but we need to be proactive.
Right, not reactive.
Exactly.
And it, you know, the sources you sent over, they mentioned some specific examples of how hurricanes have really shaped Florida's history, and the 1848 hurricane that hit Tampa Bay. seems like a prime example of that.
Yeah, it really is. It reshaped the coastline, destroyed settlements, and showed, you know, just the raw power of these storms.
Right. And it happened long before climate change was even a factor.
Exactly.
So if a storm like that hit Tampa Bay today, I mean, what would the impact be?
It's a sobering thought. With the population and infrastructure we have now, the damage would be catastrophic.
Yeah.
The economic costs would be astronomical. And the loss of life. I mean, it could be staggering.
Wow. It's almost like we're playing a game of chance, hoping that the next big hurricane just won't hit our area.
It shouldn't be about luck. It should be about preparation and mitigation. We have the knowledge and tools to minimize the impact of these hurricanes. But it takes a collective effort. Individuals, communities, governments.
And speaking of governments, what role do they play in all of this, in hurricane preparedness?
They have a huge responsibility. They need to invest in infrastructure improvements, enforce building codes, develop those robust evacuation plans, and provide resources to help people prepare. And they need to communicate effectively with the public before, during, and after a storm.
It sounds like there's a lot of work to be done, but also a lot of opportunity to make a difference.
Absolutely, there is. We can't prevent hurricanes, but we can work together to make sure that when they do hit, we're as prepared as possible.
And the source you sent about the 2024 hurricane season seemed to really underscore that point.
Yeah, what's interesting about that source is that it points out how those seasonal forecasts, they actually got the number of hurricanes right.
Oh, wow.
Even though they overestimated the total number of storms.
So it's really those hurricanes, not just the tropical storms, that we need to be most concerned about.
Right. They're the ones that have the potential to cause the most damage. And the article goes on to highlight how climate change is likely contributing to, you know, stronger, wetter hurricanes.
That's pretty alarming. Does that mean we should just expect worse hurricanes in the future?
It's a possibility, but it's not the only factor. As we've been discussing, the biggest problem is really the increasing development in those hurricane-prone areas.
Mm.
Imagine what would happen if a major hurricane hit a densely populated area like Miami or Tampa Bay today.
Yeah, that's a scary thought. So what's the takeaway here? What can we do to prepare?
Well, the source makes a good point. It says, you know, living along the coast means living with hurricanes. We need to accept that reality and take steps to mitigate the risks. That means building stronger structures, having those solid evacuation plans, and being personally prepared.
So it sounds like knowledge is power when it comes to hurricanes.
Yeah.
The more we understand about these storms, the better equipped we'll be to deal with them.
I couldn't agree more.
Okay, so we've heard the history, we've heard the science, and kind of the sobering reality of what these hurricanes can do in Florida. We've also talked about how all this development has really just intensified the risk, especially places like Tampa Bay, where a lot of people might think, oh, it's not going to happen to me. So what does this all mean for you living in Tampa Bay today?
I think it means recognizing that Tampa Bay's history is full of hurricanes, even though it doesn't necessarily feel like that. We've gone over examples of multiple hurricanes striking in a single season. We've talked about how even Tampa Bay had a direct hit back in 1848. I think that historical context is really crucial.
Yeah, it's like we've been lulled into this false sense of security, thinking, well, it hasn't happened in a while, so, you know, it won't happen to me.
Right, and that's exactly the kind of thinking we need to shift. The historical record tells us that it can happen here. And with so many more people and so much more infrastructure than ever before, that potential impact is just magnified.
The sources you sent over really highlighted that point, too. It's not just about climate change making hurricanes stronger. It's also about us putting more targets in the path of these storms, more people, more homes, businesses, all at risk.
That's exactly right. And that's why those sources emphasize personal preparedness alongside the community level efforts like building codes and evacuation plans. We need to be proactive, not reactive.
So let's break that down. What can our listeners sitting here in Tampa Bay do to be more prepared, you know, knowing all this information that we've just discussed?
Well, first, I'd encourage them to revisit their hurricane kit. You know, make sure it's stocked with enough food, water, supplies to last for at least 3 days, if not longer. Think about medications, important documents, flashlights, batteries, anything you'd need if the power went out and you were stuck at home.
Sounds like being self-sufficient for a few days is crucial. Anything else they can do?
Reviewing insurance policies is key. Do you have adequate coverage for hurricane damage? And this includes flood insurance. A lot of people underestimate the risk of flooding, even if they're not right on the coast.
That's a great point. What about evacuation plans? Where can our listener go to find information that's specific to their location in Tampa Bay?
The county website's a great resource. You can find evacuation zone maps, shelter locations, even real-time traffic updates during a storm. It's worth familiarizing yourself with all of this information now so you're not scrambling when a hurricane threatens.
You know, it sounds like knowledge is power when it comes to hurricanes. The more we understand about these risks and how to prepare, the better off we'll be to just handle whatever comes our way.
Absolutely. That knowledge empowers you to make informed decisions for yourself, for your family. It's not about living in fear. It's about taking sensible steps to minimize the risk and build resilience.
You know, after doing all this research, I'm starting to think about hurricanes differently. You know, they're this force of nature, but they're also part of Florida's story. You know, they've shaped our environment. They remind us of just the power of nature.
That's a really insightful observation, and it's true. Hurricanes are a part of what makes Florida unique. But understanding that history doesn't mean accepting a passive role. We have the ability and the responsibility to prepare, to adapt.
So for our listeners sitting in Tampa Bay today, what's the one thing you want them to take away from this whole deep dive?
I would say don't underestimate the risk. Tampa Bay has a long history of hurricanes. And while a direct hit might seem unlikely, those potential consequences are too significant to ignore. Take the time to prepare now, and you'll be in a much better position to weather the storm, literally and figuratively.
Great advice. This has been a fascinating and at times a little unsettling journey through the history of hurricanes in Florida, but I think we've come out of it with a better understanding of the risks we face and what we can do to be prepared. So thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Hurricane Alley.